Well, I do welcome you to our service this morning. I'm so glad to look out here and see you all out among us. It's just a blessing of those who, the blessing to have you come and worship the Father in person. And also those of you who are watching by social media, we appreciate you as well. This morning, if you do have your Bibles, turn with me this morning as we go to the book of James. James chapter 1. A couple of weeks ago, I presented a message to you about being in His presence, and it was about being here in His presence as opposed to just being here, showing up. And in it, I gave you three takeaways that are crucial to being in His presence. Number one was to clear the clutter in our lives, to take an inventory of our lives and what's taking up space that perhaps belongs to God. Is it time to let go of something so that you can make room for Him? I'm sure the Holy Spirit will tell you and reveal to you if anything comes in the way of your growth, of your relationship to the Father. And sometimes it's time to let go of something to make room for Him. Number two is just to get real with God. Confess your struggles. Be honest about where you've fallen short. God's not looking for perfect people. He's just looking for willing ones. The Bible's chock full of stories of people who weren't perfect, but who were willing to do His will. Number three is trust God to show up. Don't just hope that He hears you or hope that He, is around somewhere. But whatever battle you're facing, don't face it alone. Don't be a lone ranger Christian. You've got a whole church here to support you. Cry out to God the Father. He hears your cries. He heard the cry of the Israelites. Let Him do the heavy lifting of those things that are weighing down on you, that are just on your shoulder, that just you wake up and you think about, and it's just let Him do the heavy lifting. And also the importance of finding your Ebenezer, your stone of help. Where has God shown up in your life? Maybe it was a time when you felt lost and He gave you some type of direction in your life. Or perhaps maybe it was a moment when you were just at the end of your rope and He provided for you. Write it down in your Bible. That's a good place to do it. There's some extra pages in your Bible in the back if you're afraid to write on those holy parchment pages and for the fear of the Lord of thunder coming down upon you. Write all over that thing. That thing is your manual for this planet Earth on how to live for God. So you need to make notes in it. Write it down in your Bible. Share it with someone. Let it remind you that God is faithful. As you become more spiritually aware of His presence in your life. Well, today I would like to kind of continue in that theme to speak to you about being steadfast in His presence and remaining faithful to Him in our walk with Him. I think you would agree with me that life is not always easy. In fact, sometimes it's just downright impossible. You wake up, you do the right things, you work hard, you love your family, you keep your word, and yet somehow life still manages to punch you square in the jaw. And if that's happened to you, congratulations, you're human. You're human on this here planet. Because you see, faith, real faith, it's not for the faint of heart. It's not just about smooth sailing and easy answers all the time. It's about perseverance, hanging in there. It's about getting up when life knocks you down, about trusting that even in the chaos that seems to be swirling all around you at that moment, God is still in control. And James, yes, that's James, the brother of Jesus, once said something worth remembering about the testing of your faith. Think about that for a second. Faith isn't just about believing. It's about hanging on, holding tight, refusing to let go, even when everything in you just wants to quit. I mean, that's what what happened when God came down to wrestle with Jacob. I mean, he wouldn't let go of it. He refused to let go. So today I'm going to talk about what it means to remain faithful and remaining steadfast, especially when life seems to get messy. And because I like a good story illustration or two, I've got a few that might just drive the point home. So let's get to it. But before we begin our worship in the Word this morning, please shout out with me this morning, Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath. One more time. Let everything that has breath. Glory to God. As we prepare to worship in the Word, please join me in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for your constant presence in our lives this morning. We ask that you would strengthen our faith through every trial, helping us to stand firm and to trust in your perfect plan. We ask you to fill us with endurance. We ask you to fill us with courage and fill us with peace as we walk in your truth. And may our lives reflect your grace. And may our lives bring you glory. Because we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, like I said earlier, life isn't always easy. Life is tough. We all know that. Don't have to be Captain Obvious there. We all know that life is tough. And hey, if anyone tells you otherwise, they're probably trying to sell you something. So we all know life is tough. And maybe you've been through some things. Maybe you're going through them right now. But in the book of James, in our text today, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, because you know, say that again, you know, that means we have some experience there, you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Here's what we'll discover this morning in my message to you. Why trials happen and why they matter. Number two, how to keep going when you want to quit. And then finally, number three is what happens when you stay steadfast or when you remain faithful. So, all right, first things first, let's jump to point number one. Trials have a purpose. Trials have a purpose in our lives. Why does life get so hard sometimes? Why does it seem like when people are trying to do their best, they often get the short end of the stick? Have you ever been there? Or you got the short end of the stick? Speaking of sticks, one of Aesop's fables is about a father who had seven sons, and to each son he gave a stick, and each one was asked to break the stick, and which was easily done. Then the father took the seven sticks and bound them all together, and then he asked the seven sons, try to break the sticks now. And not one of the sons could break the sticks, which had been bound together. Why? Because the strength of our work is unity. It's in our unity as a church family who is united around a purpose. Our church family is unified. We should be drawn together. And we should be bound together around a common purpose. And we do so in Jesus Christ. And in doing that, we find the strength which helps us to be faithful. And as we gather together as a church family, it encourages us to remain steadfast and to remain in His presence, regardless of whatever fires in life that may come your way, whatever fiery trials that you may encounter in your life, to remain faithful in His presence. That's why it's of vital importance to be involved as a church family, to love each other, to encourage each other as we go through these fiery trials in our life. It means a lot to someone when you go up and just give them a hug. That's human contact outside of their family. That's human contact. I don't know if people go around hugging each other at work or in the workplace, but they do here. And you may not be a hugger, I get that. but we show some type of encouragement and love to you as a church family as we go through our fiery trials and we worship the Lord. Well, let's talk about metal for a minute. A good blacksmith, he doesn't just grab a hunk of metal and wave a hammer at it and hope the best happens at it. He shoves that piece of metal in the fire until he heats it up and it's glowing red hot, and then he pounds the living daylights out of it. Never understood that. It's like, okay, it's hot. Now, why are you pounding it? Are you trying to break it? No. Why? Because he does that because that's how you make a weapon that won't break in the midst of battle. Nothing worse than if you're sword fighting someone and your sword breaks off. What are you going to do? Pull out your little knife or run? You know, that's why he pounds the living daylights out of it so it won't break in battle. And my dear church family, that's exactly what God does to you and to me. He's not throwing trials at you or I just to punish us and say, you didn't read your Bible this week. Take this. Boop. You haven't been in church for a while. 1 month of Sunday? Come on. I'll show you. Boop. He doesn't do that to punish us. But instead, he's using the trials he sends our way to make us stronger. Check out what Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 tells us. It says, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character brings about what? There you go, hope. Proven character brings about hope. Remember the banners that Pastor Adam passed around to you last Sunday, and in turn, some of you passed it on to someone else who the Spirit impressed upon their heart that perhaps needed it. Hope, a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Trials and tribulations bring about hope. You ever heard of a guy named Job? He lost everything, his family, his fortune, his health. And yet in the end, God restored double what he had before. Take a look at Job chapter 42, verse 10 up there. It says, and it reminds us that the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord increased all that he had twofold. What's the application here? Well, instead of asking God, why is this happening to me? Maybe we should instead be asking God, what are you preparing me for? Because trials have a purpose. For that's why God allows trials in your life and my life to shape us and to prepare us for what he has ahead for us in our journey with him. Point number two, faith requires perseverance. Faith isn't about having all of the answers all of the time. It's about keeping the faith even when you don't feel like it. It's about keeping the faith when you don't know what's going on. It's about keeping the faith when God hasn't spoken or given you a word from his word to you to give you that assurance. But yet you know. I know whom I have believed, that he is able to keep that which is true. Let me tell you about a guy that understood that better than most. In 1968 Olympics, there was a runner named John Stephen Akawari from Tanzania. And during the marathon, he fell down hard, injuring his leg. Most of the runners would have called it quits, but not John. He kept running. Even though he had to limp, he limped his way to the finish line long after the others had crossed. When the reporters asked him, why didn't you just quit? You were hurt, you were injured. They would have understood that. And he responded to the reporters and said, my country didn't send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me to finish the race. And that's what I did. And the same goes with us. God didn't call you and I just to start the race of faith. He called you and I to finish it as well. Take a look at what the writer of Hebrews encourages us with in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. In looking to Jesus as the example. It says, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside the encumbrance and sin, and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, meaning that even though it was very humiliating for the Son of God to go to the cross and to die this way, he did it, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. And then also, Paul in the Word counsels Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. So what's the point I'm trying to get across to you? Well, maybe you're tired. Well, maybe you're on the verge of quitting, but hear me when I say, don't give up on your marriage. Persevere. Don't give up on the calling that God has in your life. Persevere. Remain steadfast in His presence. In His presence. Don't give up on God's promises. For He is faithful. Stay steadfast in His presence and persevere. So trials have a purpose. And faith requires perseverance to keep you going when you want to quit. And finally, point number three, faithfulness. Your faithfulness brings reward. Now, I get it. Whenever you're in the middle of a trial, faithfulness can feel just like a waste of time. That's probably the last thing on your mind. It's like, how can I stay above water without sinking in the middle of my trial? So faithfulness sometimes feels like a waste of time. You do the right thing, but you're not seeing any results happening. Well, let me tell you about the Chinese bamboo tree. The Chinese bamboo tree does nothing, absolutely nothing, for four whole years after it's been planted. The farmer, he waters it every day. He tends the soil, keeps the weeds out and so forth, and waits. But above ground, zero growth. There ain't nothing there. But then in that fifth year, something incredible happens in the fifth year. That tree, that bamboo tree, shoots up 90 feet in just 6 weeks. Wow. That's 15 foot of growth every week. For 6 weeks. Can you imagine going out there after that fifth year, looking out in the backyard, and, my Lord, that thing's 15 foot tall. And the next week, it's 30 feet tall, and it just keeps growing. And like, what happened? Did I put something on the ground to make it grow fast? No. Now, let me ask you, did it grow in just those 6 weeks? No, it didn't, because it was growing the whole time that you didn't see. The roots were growing down deep. The roots were growing and preparing for something big that's going to grow out of the top of the soil. Now, here's the point. Some of you are maybe in that waiting period. I know I'm in a waiting period. And you're wondering, God, hello, do you see me down here? God, do you even care? Well, let me tell you about something. He does. God cares. And at the right time, He'll bring about a harvest. How can I be so confident about that? Because God's Word assures me. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 9, where it tells us, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. Don't grow weary, church. Don't think God has forgot you. He hasn't. He's busy getting things. He's working things in the midst of your trials that you do not see. And I know it's hard when you don't see anything happening. And you get frustrated. You get downtrodden. But the Word tells us, do not lose heart in doing good. Keep doing good. Don't let a root of bitterness grow up inside of you. Don't get frustrated. Don't get mad. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And also, the book of James in that same first chapter today, in chapter 1, you skip down to verse 12. James 1, verse 12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial once he's been approved. There's a beginning day for your trial, and there's an end day. It's not an ongoing thing for never now until time or until Jesus comes back. There's a time in your life where God says, okay, he's approved. Move him on to the next stage. How are you going to handle that? It says he will receive a crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Book of Genesis, Joseph remained faithful and steadfast in God's presence through his trials and was rewarded by God. You remember the story. Joseph, he was the favored son of Jacob who was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. And despite facing betrayal and slavery and imprisonment, he still remained faithful to God. Even when he was a slave in Potiphar's house, he was diligent and trustworthy, and God blessed everything that he did. But when he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, what happened? Hey, God, I'm doing the right thing. Okay, now you're going to prison. What? What did I do wrong, God? Did I miss a verse in the Bible or something? He still remained faithful and steadfast, but still was thrown into prison. And even while he was in prison, Joseph remained faithful there, and he was given the responsibility of other prisoners. He interpreted dreams, including those of Pharaoh's officials. And even before Pharaoh, Joseph correctly interpreted Pharaoh's dreams about a coming famine. And because he remained steadfast and faithful and used wisdom, and in doing so, Pharaoh elevated him to be second in command over Egypt, because Joseph remained steadfast in his faith. And God turned his trials into triumph. He became a ruler. He saved Egypt and his own family from famine. And in the end, also was reunited with his brothers. Now, Joseph's story teaches us faithfulness to God, the importance of remaining steadfast. And being in his presence, even when you're going through a hardship, leads to a divine reward in his perfect time. But remember, things didn't happen all at once for Joseph. And God didn't reward him all at once. Joseph was in that prison for 2 years. God, I hope my trial's over before 2 years. 2 years he was in that prison before things started to roll with him and God and his dream interpretations and his elevation. What was he doing in that prison all that time? He was waiting. We have a weird mixed concept sometimes as believers that waiting for God is laziness. They're not doing. They're just sitting around. Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not just the abandonment of your effort in trying to do what you need to do. Waiting for God means first, activity under command. Being prepared to hear his voice and word. Staying in the word. Staying in prayer. Staying in service. Activity under command. Second is readiness for any new command that may come. Are you ready? What have you done to prepare for your readiness? And third is the ability to do nothing until the command is given. The ability to do nothing until the command is given is one of the greatest demonstrations of discipline trust, and obedience. Because we want to take care of it ourselves. I haven't heard from God yet. What do I got to do? The ability to wait and do nothing until you hear His command. Because when you can do that and discipline yourself to hear from God, it speaks to a level of spiritual and mental maturity that just refuses to act out of impulse, impatience, or fear. Instead, what it is, it's a posture of readiness, waiting upon the instruction from God without moving forward. The posture of readiness. So as we close today, just embrace the power of the posture of readiness and trusting God's timing, waiting on His divine instruction, and refusing to move ahead without Him. Because I tell you, you may have good intentions, but if you do it without God being ready for you to do it, it's not going to work out well. Joshua, who was a well-known favorite of God, he did that a time or so when after they crossed the river into the land of Canaan. He did some things on impulse, and they lost a lot of men doing it because God said, "I didn't tell you to do that." You've heard of the endurances of Job and have seen the outcome of God's dealings with his life. James chapter 5, verse 11, reads like this. We count those blessed who endured. You've heard about the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Here's the thing. Or as my mom says, the thing is. Satan's got a lot of tricks up his sleeve. But let me tell you, church, chasing off God's love isn't one of them. He can't do that. That was proven by the cross. And neither can hard times, no matter how ugly they get. God is locked in. He's locked in on you. He's not flaky. Jesus isn't going to wake up tomorrow and reconsider, because He knows exactly who you are. The good, the bad, the downright embarrassing. He's already seen the mistakes that you haven't even made yet. And guess what? If you belong to Him, He's not going anywhere. Come hell or high water, His love stays put. It doesn't buckle under pressure. He doesn't throw in the towel and say, "He's a lost cause." Jesus doesn't call in sick when life gets hard. It holds strong and unshaken in our lives. So as you and I push through the dirt and the mess of life, and we need to just lean into Him and trust Him and give Him everything we've got. What's the secret to standing strong and remaining steadfast? It's not about muscling through it. It's about letting Him hold you up. His strength, His love, that's the real power. And when you do that, you won't just survive. You'll walk with Him shoulder to shoulder. And you'll know the joy that sticks with you through thick and thin and everything in between. He's there for you, and He's not leaving. As our worship team begins to make their way to the stage, let's get serious about this for a moment. Some of you are in the middle of a trial right now, and you're wondering if there's any end in sight at all. And you're feeling the heat of the fire. You're tired, and you're frustrated, And if you're honest with yourself, you may even be a little angry at God. Or maybe you're someone who started out strong in the faith, but somewhere along the way, you kind of lost your momentum. Life kind of got hard, and maybe you even drifted away. That's you. Listen, it's not too late to get back into the race. And as we prepare for the altar call this morning, I want to invite two groups of people to respond. Number one, if you're in a trial right now and you need God's strength to persevere, this is for you. And number two, if you've wandered away and maybe need to recommit your life to Christ, this is your moment. If either of those sounds like you, I invite you to come forward as we begin to sing, because the altar is here for you. And our prayer counselors are always here for you, to pray with you, to encourage you, to lift you up. It's not about coming up here and making a scene. It's about making a decision. And so as our prayer counselors make their way forward at this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, life is tough and we don't understand it a lot of times. We don't understand what you're doing in our life at times, but today we choose to trust you. For those trials, they give us strength. They help us to push forward even when we don't see the results. Father, if there's anyone here today returning to you, remind them that you never left. You've always been by their side. You're faithful, and you will finish the good work that you've started. Father, we choose today to remain steadfast in your presence, praise your holy name, and to be steadfast and faithful as you do a mighty work in our life. In spite of the trials that we must walk through, you are still here for us. Let us always be here for you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the church says, amen.